ते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया. So welcome to all. Today we have some guests. From where? Yes, yes, both of you.
USA?
USA? Which place?
I'm from Boston.
Boston, eh? Both of you are from Boston.
New York.
Welcome to Maya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 44. Upagiyamano lalitam tatatatta chaguyakai kridam pavritin svidir radinyavi sabachato upagiyamano lalitam tatratatra jagayakai vidam piyari vitasvidir radini mavisakchato upagyamanalalita tatratatra jagayakai vidam kali vitasvidir about. Lalitam, very nicely. Tatra tatra, here and there. Cha, also. Gayakai, by the singers. Kridam, playing. Paripritaha, surrounded. Sribihi, by women. Kadinim, in the water of the river. Avisat, entered. Sacho, when it was too hot. Translation by Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Many professional singers used to sing about the glory of King Puranjana and his glorious activities. When it was too hot in the summer, he used to enter a reservoir of water. He would surround himself with many women and enjoy their company. Please repeat after me. Many professional singers used to sing about The glories of King Puranjana
and his glorious activities.
When it was too hot
in the summer,
he used to enter a reservoir of water. He was surrounding himself with many women and enjoyed their company. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A living being has different activity in different stages of life. One stage is called Jagrata, or the life of awakening. And another is called Swapna, or the life of dream. Another stage is called Susupti, or life in unconscious state. And still another stage occurs after death. In the previous verse, the life of awakening was described. That is, the man and the woman were married and enjoyed life for 100 years. In this verse, life in the dream state is described. For the activity Puranjana accomplished during the day were also reflected at night in the dream state. Puranjana used to live with his wife for sense enjoyment, and at night this very sense enjoyment was appreciated in different ways. A man sleeps very soundly when he is greatly fatigued. And when a rich man is greatly fatigued, he goes to his garden house with many female friends and then enter the water and enjoy their company. Such is the tendency of the living entity within this material world. A living entity is never satisfied with a woman unless he is trained in the system of brahmacharya. Generally, a man's tendency is to enjoy many women. And even in the very end of life, the sex impulse is so strong that even though one is very old, he still wants to enjoy the company of many young girls. Thus, because of strong sex impulse, the living entity becomes more and more involved in this material world. Nama Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimati Jayadatta Swami Namne. Nama Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasatthade Sutarine. Vanchakalpagaru Veshkati Pasindha Vyavacha Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So before I make an attempt to speak some suitable words, please, I request all the senior Vaishnavas to bless me, that I may be able to speak something sensible. So in this particular sloga, Srila Prabhupada purport, he explained about, he touches many points. I'd like to start with a story which is told by Srila Prabhupada, that once upon a time in a kingdom there was a king who was very happy and satisfied. He had his wife and children, but he had one question in his mind. He was thinking, as he was growing old, whether this sex desire will diminish with age. So one day he called the assembly of all his ministers and he questioned them, does sex desire diminish as a person grows old? One of the ministers said, my dear sir, tomorrow morning I will show you the answer to this question. And I said, okay, very nice. What shall we do? He said, tomorrow morning you bring your princess, the beautiful princess with you. We're going to see a man who is dying in the hospital. So the king was surprised and said, well, let's do it. So when they went to see this man who is lying down on his bed, which is about to die, and the princess was next to the king, so the minister announced to the man, my dear sir, the king has come, he wants to see you. And he was very happy, but his eyes were locked. on this beautiful princess. Not for a moment he saw the king. He said, beautiful princess was there, so he was very attracted to the princess, to the beautiful princess. So then after a few minutes they left. So the minister told, did you see it? He said, what? Did the man look at your eyes? He said, no. What he was looking? At the princess. So the desire to enjoy is there until the end of life. So this was the experience of this king. But we have very powerful tools by which we can defeat lust. So lust, anger, and greed, these are the three enemies of the living entity. These are described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and say that these three things, these three gates, lead to hell. So one should learn how to control this lust, anger, and greed. Actually, if you see any film, I'm sure that all of you, or some of you, or many of you, or all of you must see some film. All the film deal with these three things. There is always lust, anger, and greed. Whether it is action film, they are fighting because they're angry. Or there is somebody is killing somebody because he did something wrong. There is always a revolving. There's some romance, and then there is some action, and then there is some violence, right? So all the films, they revolve about these things, lust, anger, and greed. The very few films who are really in a mood of goodness are transcendental. Huh? So the jiva, the living entity, has been kept in this material world, forced to stay here again and again, life after life, in so many different species. There are 8,400,000 different species of life. And according to one's desire, the living entity is being awarded a particular type of body. So, sex desire, which is very strong, is very powerful within our heart, can be defeated. But before we come to the point of defeating, let's analyze. Where is this lust sitting? Krishna says in three places. The mind, the senses, and the intelligence. So, this lusty desire to enjoy is there in a living entity since time immemorial. But this lust can be transformed into love. In Sanskrit there are two words. In English we have only one word, it's called love. It's only love. But in Sanskrit there is two words, prema and kama. So kama means a desire to enjoy. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be in the center of attraction. I want to enjoy another living entity. I want to exploit. That is called kama. And what is prema? Prema means pure love. I want to give myself to the Lord. He may use me as He likes. Just like Lord Chaitanya says, you may embrace me, or may you forget about me. Still, I am your servant. And Srila Prabhupada explained, the closest understanding of this love is the mother love for the child. Many of you are mother, and many of you love your child. So, that much love you will have for your son, for your daughter. So that is the closest things to pure love. Why? Because the mother doesn't love the child because he thinks, oh, when my child grows up, he goes to university, he makes a lot of money, he gives me some money, I'll be happy. Does the mother think like that? No. The mother thinks, I love my child. It doesn't matter what he does, it doesn't matter. He is good, he's bad, he's a rascal. He still loves. Mother's love is so deep. It doesn't matter what the child is. So this is the closest understanding of love. But of course, beyond that, the pure love should be dedicated for Krishna. So once we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are His servant, then we can have different relationship with the Lord. So we can serve Him in so many different ways. We can love Him in so many different ways. Just like Arjuna is serving Krishna as a friend. He loves Krishna as a friend. He's having a very friendly relationship. They're joking, they're playing, they're eating together, they're having fun. That is one type of relationship. And Mother Yashoda, she thinks, I am the mother of Krishna. So I will restrict him. I will punish him also. If he doesn't be a problem, there is mother's love. Of course, the highest love, you know, is Madhurya Ras, which is the gopi's love for Krishna. The gopi, they don't mind to be cursed by their parents, by their relatives, but they want to serve Krishna in whatever possible way to please Krishna, in all the possible way. So about this, there is a very nice passage from Sri Chaitanya Sikshamrita about the living entity in the material world, which I'd like to read for you. Actually, whatever is the highest in the spiritual world become the lowest in the material world. See, because we see this in the spiritual world, this Madhurya Ras, the gopis are not married with Krishna, they are like having an affair. Yes, this is the highest relationship which Krishna is having with the gopi, and they are fully dedicated, they are fully surrendered to Krishna. So that is the highest thing in the spiritual world. The reflection of that in the material world, the same thing, is very perverted and very mundane and very contaminating. So, in the material world, of course, if one individual acts as the enjoyer and another individual acts as the enjoyer, this relationship is contrary to spiritual principle and is considered shameful or detestable. For one should not enjoy or exploit another soul. In truth, all souls are to be enjoyed, and Krishna is the only enjoyer. In other words, anything contrary to the eternal nature of the soul is necessarily shameful and despicable. Keeping in mind the example of the object and its reflection, there will of course be an apparent resemblance between the relationship of man and woman in the material world and the spotless pastime of Krishna and the gopi. However, in fact, one is very low and the other is most excellent. So, because of this desire of the living entity to enjoy within this material world, we come here, Krishna is making so many arrangements. Krishna is like a good father who once want to see his son come back to him. So he makes so many arrangements so the living entity can come into this material world. But then he accompanies each individual soul within the heart in the form of Paramatma. And he's always calling the living entity, please come back to me. Please come back to the spiritual world, where is eternal life, full of knowledge and bliss. Why are you suffering here, in this material world? Why are you undergoing this this despicable position of accepting a material body? Actually, we all have spiritual body. But now this spiritual body is covered by this material body, and by this material mind, and by the material activity we perform every day, thinking, I am this body. I am Italian, I am American, I am man, I am woman, I am this, I am that, I am tall, I am old, I am young, I am black, I am white. So there are so many designations. So this is the major problem, identifying ourselves with this body. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains so many times, Srila Prabhupada mentioned so many times, I am not this body. We are not this body. It's even as scientists, they find out that we are not this body. One scientist made a camera that he can actually take a photograph of the soul. So kind of, not a soul exactly, but some kind of hollow. You take a photograph of a person, it looks in one way. And when the person died, you take the same photograph, it looks different. Something is missing, something is gone. Of course, some bodies say that they even weigh a person before dying, and then the weigh after dying weighs less. I don't know, the soul has some weight? Maybe. But they're getting closer to understand that actually we are not this body. It's not so difficult to understand that we are not this body. Another example is given, just like if we cut our arms, we cut our leg, we don't die. That means we are not this leg, we are not this arm. Yes? We say, I am this body. We don't say, I body. My arm, my head, my leg. So mine means who is me? I'm the one sitting inside this body. And that is the soul. And we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. So now we have to again develop this relationship with the Lord. So everything is given in the scriptures, in the Vedas. Actually, religion is only one. Sanatana Dharma. All the religion should be one. Because all the religions should teach how to love God. But under some illusion, we think, oh, I am Christian, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am against you, you are against me. Let's fight. Let's put a bomb. Let's trap ourselves and blow ourselves. It doesn't make sense. So, if we are not this body and we are the spirit soul, and God is one, God is not Christian, he's not Muslim, he's not Hindu, God is God. Isn't it? So, who is God? You call it Krishna, the most attractive personality is called Bhagavan. There are thousands of names we can call God. But Krishna is very personal name. Just like when you walk in the street, somebody say, hey man, hey man, hey young man, hey lady. But if somebody call you with your name, somebody say, Ganagamya Prabhu, then they'll say, oh, he's calling me. Because there are so many thousands of people, especially in India, when you walk in the street, somebody say, hey man, hey man, maybe he's calling somebody. But if somebody call you with your personal name, then you know they're addressing you. So similarly, when we call Krishna with his name, it's God's name, he has so many thousands of names. Govinda, Gopala, there are so many thousands and millions of names. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in this particular name, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. You have invested all your potency. So Krishna has unlimited potency. And Krishna entered into his name. Because it's on the absolute platform, it's not different from his name. So when we are chanting his only name, we are actually in the presence of Krishna. Krishna is dancing on our tongue. So, this is the process of Kali Yuga. You know? Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can get direct association with Krishna. And we can purify our mind, and we can purify our senses, and we can come to the awakening stage where we realize, actually I'm not this body, I'm the eternal son of Krishna. And once we realize that, and I have an eternal relationship with Krishna, that's called Sambandha, then Abhideya, what shall I do? Then I do activity which are no more material. I perform activity which are pleasing to the Lord. So those activities are spiritual activity. Every day we perform activity. No one can say, from today I will not do anything. You try, sometimes you get tired. You go home and say, today I will do nothing. Today is Sunday, I relax. But after some time, you feel tired. I want to do something. Okay, let me do something. Right? Let me clean this place. Let me check the bike. Let me screw the nut. Whatever. Something you want to do. You want to read some book. Can you stop doing activity for 24 hours? Not possible. Not possible. So we must perform activity. And Krishna explained, even to maintain your body, you have to do some activity. You have to take bath, you have to eat, you are thirsty, you want to drink water. So we must perform all those activities for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna is giving us such a nice process. We don't have to change anything. We just have to put Krishna in the center. Because all this activity can be directed for pleasing Krishna. Then they become spiritual. And Srila Prabhupada explained, just like if we put, if you go here on the road, there is an ironsmith. Sometimes you see he has a bellow, he blows the fire, he put iron inside the fire. And then the iron, he takes it out, is red hot. He takes the hammer, he bends it, makes it into shape. He makes knives, he makes things for sickle, for cutting the grass. He can make plier, he can make anything he wants. So that iron, once it becomes hot, you know, it can burn anything because of the contact with the fire. So as long as we are in contact with Krishna and chanting of His holy name and His holy dhamma and the association of the devotee, then we become spiritual. All our activity which we do every day, which seems to be ordinary activity, we also wake up, we also take bath, we also eat, we also go to the toilet, we also do some service, some work, but because all these activities are meant for pleasing Krishna, for pleasing the Vaishnava, for pleasing the spiritual master, then this spiritual activity, these are very spiritual, very potent, very powerful, so they purify our mind. And by performing repeatedly those activities, this is called sadhana. Just like if you want to become a weight lifter, so you have to do every day exercise, so your muscle becomes strong, and then you can lift more and more, isn't it? Can you go the first day and lift 200 kilo? Unless you are Hanuman, you won't be able to do it. So, gradual process. This is a gradual process. So by regulating our senses, by regulating ourselves, gradual process, every day we do activity which focus our mind how to please Krishna. So those activities are spiritual activity. Even though they appear to be mundane, we also drive car, we also go in the plane, we also do all these things. But the purpose to do all these things is how to please God, the Almighty Supreme Personality of God, Krishna. So, when that is established, then we become purified, then our life is successful. As we were reading, the moment we want to exploit this material nature, we become entangled in the web of material elements, of material modes. And we suffer. There are so many sufferings, so many reactions. Every action has a reaction. So long we think ourselves, I am this body, I am the enjoyer, and let me gratify my senses, then we are materially contaminating ourselves. And this contamination is very difficult to overcome, because by material contact, we become more and more entangled. But as we associate with Vaishnava, we develop faith, and we learn about how to become purified, how our mind becomes pure, how our activity are meant for pleasing Krishna, then our life is successful. So there is a very nice pastimes about attraction of male and female. This is in South India, about the time of Ramanujacharya, which is 800 years ago, in Sri Rangam. There was a very handsome boy who was a son of a Kshatriya, who was managing so many villages. Because he was born, his color was a little bluish. His name was Nilan. And eventually, Nilan becomes trained in the Gurukul, and he learned all the martial arts. He learned how to fight with swords, with weapon, on a horse, on an elephant. He grew up to be a very handsome person, and under the tutelage of his father, he also started to manage portion of the Chola king, the kingdom. He had few hundred villages by which he was collecting taxes, and the revenue and giving it to the king. So he was a very expert fighter, and he was a very chivalrous person. At the same time, nearby, in one of these under village, the apsara used to come and collect lotus flowers. So the apsara, of course, they are the damsels of the higher planetary system. They're very, very beautiful, very attractive. And they used to come for a very short time, collect from the pond this lotus flower and go back. So it was a regular feat, people could witness. Now, of course, they're not coming anymore for whatever reason. And so one of these apsara, one day, while before she going back, they saw an ashram, and there was a Gurukul boy who was being taught by his guru. Teacher was there. And for some reason, he made some funny face to this kid, jokingly or arrogantly, I don't know. They made some kind of sneer face, you know, like, you stupid guy, listen, sitting there, you know. So this kid became very angry, and he cursed this apsara to remain in the material world and to marry an earthly person. So the other apsara left, this girl was remaining there, and then one physician took care on doctor, took mercy on her, took her home, and he grew up her like her own daughter. And she grew up to be very, very beautiful, astonishing beautiful. And by words of mouth, thousands of people wanted to see this girl. So they all came and see, oh, she's most attractive girl we have ever seen in this planet. So when Nilam came to know about this, he immediately sent this minister, say, propose a marriage, I want to marry this girl. He was a Kshatriya. He was very bold. So the girl said, yeah, no problem, I will marry you, but you please come and see me. So when he came, he bought so many gifts for the girls, and he witnessed himself, she was so beautiful, so attractive. He almost fainted from his horse. And then he came, kneeled down and said, please, accept me as your husband. I am the only qualified person to enjoy you. And she said, wait a minute, there is a little test you have to do. He said, I'll do anything to get your hand. He was so infatuated with this beautiful girl. He said, well, I will only marry you if you are a Vaishnava. He said, no problem whatsoever. He went back, and after a few months, he found a guru, and he takes initiation, put a big tilak, he shaved his head, he had a big shika, and he learned to put the mantra, Om Kesavaya Namo Narayana Om Madhavaya Namo Govindaya Namo Vishnaya Namo Madhusudaya Antrivikamanaya Mamanaya Shkutaraya Nishikishaya. He learned all the mantra, everything. He learned how to worship the deity, he learned how to offer food, he learned about the holy name. He came back and said, okay, here I am, I am ready. She said, very good, but one small test is there. Okay, what you want me to do now? He said, if for 1 year you feed 1,008 Vaishnava every day, and you take the remnants from their washing of the lotus feet, and you take some remnants of their prasadam, then I'll consider marry you, no problem. He said, all right, no big deal. I will feed for 1 year 1,008 Vaishnava. He went back. He started a big hall, every day cook. He prepared prasadam, made all the call of the Vaishnava for lunchtime. He feed them. So after a few months, his money was finishing. And then he started to think, okay, no problem. I have the money which I had to give to the king and all the rice. I will use that. And he started to feed the Vaishnava with that money. So when the king, the Chola king, came to know about this, he called him. He said, call this guy, I want to speak to him. He came and he saw him. He said, oh, very nice, you become a Vaishnava, very good. But you know, what are you doing? What is my taxes? Where is my rice? Where is my grain? Where is my vegetable? Where is my oil? You're not bringing anymore anything to me. What happened? All the village, they're not producing anymore anything? He said, no, no, they're producing. Okay, so where is it? Well, I thought that, you know, since you are such a great king, and you're always looking for the welfare of the people, so I'm doing some pious activity for you, and feeding the Vaishnavas. And say, hey, wait a minute. I am the king, and I will tell you, if I want you to do that, why you're taking on my behalf, you're doing all these activities, is nonsense. Give me my money, I'll put you in jail. He had no money, so he ended up in jail. So he's in jail, he's thinking, oh my God, what happened? Now I cannot get married to the girl because this is stopped. It's broken, my vow, you know. This is very bad, you know. I really want to marry the girl. It was fixed. You want to marry the girl, whatever it takes. So he prays in his heart in the night. He prays to the Lord, Srinivasa Perumal. He said, Lord, I am in this predicament. I'm chanting your name, Om Namo Narayana. You are the Lord and controller of everything. What am I supposed to do? I really want to marry this girl. So the Lord appeared in his dream in the night and he told him, okay, you go to the Kaveri River, you know, you go there, and under this tree there is some pot of gold hidden in the sand. So you go there and take that and give to the king, so you become free again. Then he wake up in the morning, he was fired up, he called the guard and said, I want to speak to the king. And said, forget it, man, he already spoke to you, he doesn't want to see your face. He said, no, no, please tell me. I want to pay back. He said, where is the money? Are you going to pay back? No, no, no. There's some treasure. The Lord came. He said, oh, come on. Don't come with this story. No, no, no. It's true. I'm telling you. You have to take me there. So, okay. They went and told the king. And the king said, hey, listen. What to do? You know what I mean? Whatever. Okay, take him anyway. Maybe it's crack. You know. But give him a chance. After all, he was a nice guy. He was working for me. So then the guard, they take him there. It takes a few days to walk to that place. They take him there and then he goes there and is trying to dig someplace, but he couldn't find anything. So the guard, they really become angry with him. They want to beat him up and they say, you're such a rascal, nonsense. Why are you telling all this stuff? First you become Vaishnava, then you're feeding, you're spending the money on the king. Now you're telling about this treasure. You are an illusion. You are in Maya. He said, no, 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 no. Relax. Let's sleep here tonight. I'm sure that I will find the treasure. Anyway, they were far away, so they had to sleep. Okay, they sleep there. But the minister were thinking, man, this guy is really gone, you know? So again in the night he prayed before going to sleep, please, 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 Lord, you know, this is very shameful for me, you know, because he was a Kshatriya, he was having some ego issue, you know, with the other ministers. He was thinking, you know. So, and then the Lord appeared and told him, okay, look, under this particular tree, the pot of gold is there. So don't be mistaken, don't go any other tree, this tree. So he wake up in the morning and say, okay, let's go, I found it, I know where it is. And the guy said, okay, let's take him anyway. So they took him there and they went and dig. And when he dig, he found a big pot of gold, one cauldron, this big, so many diamond and gold. And all the guards are surprised. They say, wow, this is true. How is possible? But the guard was very mean. He said, okay, anyway, even if you repay back with this gold, what about all the grain you have to give, all the rice, all the other things? And then he said, no problem. He started to take the sand, he closed his eyes, he prayed to the Lord, he said, please, 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 transform this sand into grains. And he's giving to the soldier. And actually the sand gets transformed into grain. And all the soldiers are like shocked. And say, okay, 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 okay. Let's go back. Let's go back. They got a little scared, you know, because this is unusual happening. So they take him back to the kingdom and they take and they
explain to the king in all details what actually happened. So the king was a pious king. He thinks, well, you know, wait a minute. This is not ordinary. People cannot transform sand into grain. People cannot find a treasure and they don't know where it is. So the king was thinking, well, if Draupadi was supplying unlimited cloth by Krishna, and this guy must be a devotee of Krishna, so Krishna must help this person to give back this gold and all these things. So he must be not an ordinary person, must be a great devotee of the Lord. So he called him. He said, you know what? You take all the gold, take all the grain, go back, feed your Vaishnava, whatever. You are free to do whatever. You are not under my control. Do whatever you want. So then he went back and started again, fired up, cooking every day, feeding everything. And then after some time, money finished again. Oh my God. It was almost 10 months. For 10 months it is, and just another 2 months, I need some more money. So he tried, but he wouldn't beg anybody because he's a kshatriya. He's below his dignity to go and ask, please, 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 give me some money. No, he won't do that. So he had some friends. They make a plot. They said, look, I know you guys from when we are small, when we are in the Gurukul, and you know, you have to help me in my mission. They say, okay, we are your friend. Friends are meant for helping the friends. Let's do it. What do you want to do? He said, you know, we should go and rob the people who come in the night for marriage. They come with so much gold and diamonds and silver and jewelry, everything. We'll stop them in the night, rob everything. They say, no problem. One of them could walk on the water. Another one was very dark, was like hiding anywhere, no one would see. Another guy was big wrestler, but also played very great musical instruments. And another one was a lawyer who could discuss for hours about some case, you know, make a false case, whatever. He'll discuss and completely bewilder people. They said, this is perfect, let's go. So in the daytime, they're all dressed with tilak and chanting, and they're doing activity for the pleasure of the Lord. In the night, they change their dress and they become thieves. They put black dhoti, black chadar, they remove the tilak, they put black in their face, let's go. And every night, there is some party who come to the city for a marriage, they stop them, okay? Rob everything. They put everything in a bundle. The man who could walk in the water will take the bundle and run on the Kaveri River, and people will try to chase him, but when they go in the river, this guy will walk on the water, and these people will fall inside, so they couldn't catch him. And they were all set up, you know, the person who played the music, when he sees them, they'll play some musical instrument, flute, so the other party they know, and the black man would hide the wealth stolen under some tree that no one can see. And the lawyer will come out and start to argue with them. No, 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 this is okay, no, this is okay, and confuse them, you know, so they would understand what's going on, you know, but all the money, all the gold, everything is gone. So with this ill-gotten wealth, he continued to feed the Vaishnava. In the meanwhile, in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi, she looks in the Lord, Narayan, and says, come on, look at this, look what your disciples are doing. They only care about the end. They don't care how they get money or what they're doing, you know. Let's help them. Let's do something for him. And the Lord smiled and said, okay, no problem. So they come into the material world and they appear to be themselves like a married couple with a lot of wealth. So they come, they're singing in the night, and this guy, they come to play the flute, and the black man come, they all get robbed. And they're laughing, removing everything and giving everything, you know. They're smiling and giving everything, you know. Which the thief thinks, this is strange. Why these people are smiling? Usually people are angry when you take something from them. But they're just smiling and giving everything. So, no, no problem. Take everything, take. But then, you know, this Kalyan Nilam, he saw that she, the wife, the future wife, she had some gold ring on a toe, right? All the women in South India, they wear a toe ring. So there is a sign of marriage. So he tried to take it off, but he couldn't. Even tried with his teeth. He couldn't. And then she said, come, I'll tell you one mantra by which you can take it out. And then he tell in a ear, Om Namo Narayana. And when he hear this mantra, he gets like electric shock. He remember all his previous life. And he realized, this is the Lord. Oh my God. And he pay obeisance and they vanish. But still they have all the gold. So then they went on cooking. And of course, they built also one of the wall of Sri Rangam. You can go and see this. Sri Rangam temple is very big. Anybody of you have been in Sri Rangam? Many of you. So there are 8 concentric temples. And some of the temple, all the wall are still there. And one of them was built by him. So from that point, Kalyan, he completely realized the futility of everything material. And he completely dedicated himself to the service of the Lord and preaching the name of the Lord. And he went traveling to all the different Divyadeshams. And he became famous as Tirumangai Alwar. Alwar means those who are immersed in the wave of love of God. And they are actually the incarnation of the Alankar of the Lords. Means the Shankha Chakra Gadapadma, the Brahmin Tray, the flower, the mala. These are all personality. So the Lord wants to preach. The bhakti cult is sent, is associate, to preach about devotion. So somehow or another, he was attracted and he wrote some beautiful book about Krishna, and where he explained that actually due to this beautiful girl, I become completely surrendered to the Lord. So this is the power of the ladies. They can turn anyone into devotees if they wish to. So like that we can see how we can utilize everything in the service of the Lord. Another point before closing, I would like to say that every day we are singing a beautiful song. Well, before prayers, before we take prasadam, sarira vidyaja janendriya taika. So by taking only Krishna prasadam, then our mind will become purified. So every day we are chanting these prayers, because Srila Prabhupada explained that the tongue, the stomach, and the genital reproductive organ, they are in line. So if we are very careful to eat the right proportion and the right quality and the right amount of prasadam, and main thing, prasadam should be offered to the Lord for His pleasure, and we take that as a service, we don't eat it to enjoy, then we can become purified. And the translation of the song, which the prayers, which everybody knows, is this: Oh brother, this material world is a network of ignorance, and the senses are one deadly enemy, for they throw the soul into this ocean of material sense enjoyments. Among those senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. Oh brothers, Lord Krishna is very merciful. He has given us the remnants of His own food just to control the tongue. Now please accept that nectarian Krishna prasadam and sing the glory of the Lordship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and in love call out Chaitanya Nitai. So this is the weapon we have. We can take Krishna prasadam, we can chant the holy name, we can purify our existence, and we can come to the point of desiring to go back home, back to God, because this material world is not the place where we belong. So we must sincerely perform our devotional service with the mood of pleasing Krishna, then our life will be successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any comments or questions, you can try. Otherwise, there are many other senior Vaishnava here who will assist him. Any doubt? You cannot sleep tonight? Yes, Vyanagami Prabhu. The story of Tirumangai Alwar is there in a book which is published by Banu Maharaj. I have the book, I can give it to you. It's the 12 different Alwars. Each one, their life history is mentioned. Originally is in Tamil, but it's been translated into English. That's a very interesting story. So we go to the next program, Prasadam. Hrivo Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Gaura Premanande.